Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives. I'm Chris Taylor of Honeycomb and Spice.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
And I'm Bonnie Burns of Strong Wives.
Pull up your chair to our virtual kitchen table and let's chat.
Welcome back to Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We are down one host with Chris out today, but Gay, Bonnie, and I are here to answer your questions. If you have a question that you'd like us to address, head to our website at forchristianwives.com, click the Ask a Question tab, and shoot us an email. While we can't respond to all of your questions, we do try to cover a lot of ground and answer what we can. Be sure to go back through our older episodes as well to see if we might have covered a topic you're wondering about. Okay, ladies, how about we start with Bonnie? Which question did you pick?
I picked this one. Hello, I'm new to your podcast and I'm feeling validation and encouragement through it. My husband and I have been struggling with trust issues for several years now. He struggled with what he calls soft porn growing up and then into the first year of our marriage. He stopped searching for it and placed safety measures to prevent it from coming up. However, he continues to look at other women and images that are so easily available outside our home. My question is, am I wrong to be upset by this habit? Are my expectations too high? How do I learn to trust when I feel so betrayed when I see him look? Do I need counseling to truly move on past this? There you go, ladies. What are your answers?
Let me start with this. Is she wrong to be upset by this habit? And my answer immediately is no. She desires to have her husband's focus on her, and that's a reasonable thing. Also, your emotion is your emotion. I mean, she's just having emotional reaction. It's what you then do with your feeling upset and how you proceed from there. So I think sometimes we beat ourselves up for our feelings when our feelings are actually signaling something to us that maybe we need to think about why are we feeling that way and what we can do about it. And in this case, I would say there's some good reasons to be upset if he's eyeballing other women. Now, I've talked some about how noticing is not the same as really looking. So, you know, if a husband notices, they're out there. Like if you walk by a Victoria's Secret store and there's the huge poster of the woman on the wall wearing way too little to be displayed out to everyone passing by, you know, it's one thing to be like, turn and be like, see it. It's another thing to like hold your gaze or take second and third looks. So I would want to know, you know, what is going on, but it sounds to me like he is looking.
Yeah. I agree that your feelings are your feelings and you don't need to feel guilty about them. But, you know, you can also work with them and try to assess, I think, whether they're in any way misplaced or is, you know, can you move beyond them? But, you know, she asked, it's very hard for us just having this question to know exactly what's happening. You know, is he just, as Jay said, glancing at women as they walk by, or is he really staring at women, commenting on women, you know, seeking out attractive? It's just hard to know. But I think clearly his involvement in some level of porn before and even into their marriage has created a real trust issue for them. And whether either one of them is doing something right or wrong now, they have to get beyond that trust issue. So she said, do I need counseling to truly move past this? And I would say maybe, but maybe, you know, I read her question in a blaming way, like, is there something wrong with me and I have to go get counseling? And I don't think that's the case, but they may need counseling to deal with their trust issues. And she may need counseling to process and work with how she's feeling about what's happening in their marriage.
Yeah. When there's problematic sexual behavior, which what she's talking about, he came into marriage with the soft porn issue, and it's commendable. He probably put covenant eyes on his phone or something. That's good. But managing the behaviors of viewing does not always cure the man from his roaming eyes, because they're finding arousal that way. That's what the porn problem is doing when he comes into marriage. It's a hit of dopamine. They're living at typically, I don't know this guy, but typically when they come in with the porn problem, they're living at a higher dopamine level because of those hits. And they're always looking for those hits. And so there is a difference between sobriety, which is not viewing erotic material or masturbating solo when he has a very available wife. So there's a difference between that sobriety and recovery. Recovery is digging deep to understand why the pornography was a problem in the first place and turning completely away from those behaviors while emotionally maturing. And, you know, he doesn't have to be a full-blown sex addict to find some help to understand why porn had an allure in the first place. There's usually family of origin issues. There might even be some childhood sexual abuse. These are just things I'm speaking off the cuff. I don't know this couple. I've just heard many, many, many stories like this now because I'm an APSATS coach. I walk with wives of sex addicts, and I see things and have heard things. But anyways, we'll go on. So is she wrong? You both have said, no, she is not wrong to feel what she's feeling. But how do you learn to trust? By his consistent, respectful actions towards you and looking and ogling. If it is ogling, taking that second or third glance, that's not respectful. That's not honoring you. So do you need counseling? Maybe, just like Gay said, maybe. But possibly he needs the counseling to figure out how to learn new behaviors that are honoring and respectful.
Yeah, I think, you know, if somebody has had a problem with looking at a lot of people, or I'm just going to analogize this a little bit to myself in the sense that I think I had a lust problem before I got married. It was not pornography, but I had a premarital promiscuous past. I had, you know, I dated a lot. And so I had a roving eye for the guys. And I feel like you almost, if you have an issue, you almost have to go overboard for a while to protect against it, to retrain. So in a sense, the fact that he's had this soft porn and he's had whatever, and I don't know what all is going on there exactly, and we can't tell entirely from this question, but it seems like if he's still trying to kind of get glimpses of things, then that's a problem. It's almost like he needs to go more than what I might say somebody else in full recovery and completely broken free from this might need to do later on. I just think you need to err on the side of being super careful. So for me, I set up like really hard walls for a long time to make sure I was really fully attaching to my husband and that all my focus was on him. Now I'm not as, they're still there. I still have fences, but I don't feel like I have to be quite so intense. But I just think that it's important to do that and to ask for that. I think it's fine to ask for that and say, this is what I need. If you want to establish trust, it's going to feel like maybe it's overboard to you, but I need to know that you're not just looking at these women. You think maybe you're just noticing them, but it feels to me like you're feeding that habit.
Mm-hmm. It's up to him to gain her trust back. He's already broken it with the porn issue coming into marriage. So absolutely what you're saying, he needs to go the second mile with honoring her, and they need to communicate. They could communicate some code words or some things that, you know, hey, that's bothering me. What are you doing? You know, I want to bring this to your attention. What you're doing right now feels very disrespectful and doesn't build trust with me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to jump in with my question next. And my question is actually two questions that kind of deal with some similar things. So I'm going to read each of them and we'll talk about them. The first one, a woman says, my husband and I have a great sex life. I feel loved and appreciated by him. The problem is that I want sex with him and I fantasize about other men too. I don't want to keep secrets from my husband, but I also feel it would do more harm than good to share with him about my secret crushes or thought life. I'm not sure what to do. And then the second woman says, I have struggled in the last few years with other men popping into my mind during sex, and this has caused some very difficult years with my husband. It hurt him greatly. I felt such shame. I'm doing much better and shame is diminishing. I give invasive thoughts way too much power. I sometimes do not know how to handle a quiet mind. So random things will try to steal my attention or make noise in my mind, wondering how I can enhance my intimacy with mental focus. So both of these are kind of other men popping into your mind. What is a wife to do?
I wonder if when the thought pops in, if they handle it with curiosity and then let it go. Okay, it showed up. There it is. and then let it go, and then turn their thoughts onto their physical body. What is their physical body feeling? Are they hot? Not in that way. What is the temperature? What is the temperature? Are they cool? What's your husband? What are his hands doing on your body? What are other things happening that you can feel? I think turning towards your body helps bring you into the present. Another tactic is to open your eyes and look into your husband's eyes and try to make that emotional connection.
Yeah. So, I mean, intrusive thoughts are really a problem. I have intrusive thoughts in a lot of different areas, and they're very hard to deal with. But I really love Bonnie's idea about having curiosity about them. And I've, you know, also had the idea of I just have to let them move through. And then, as she said, refocus my attention on, in this case, in this wife's case, making love with her husband, being intimate with him. You know, I think it's very hard to do, but I think that you can try to let go of some of the power they have over you by just letting go of the guilt. I mean, just the fact that man X enters your mind does not mean you're lusting after him. It does not mean you're having a virtual affair with him. Just let man X pass through and refocus on your husband, your arousal, you know, whatever. I mean, intrusive thoughts are a problem. You know, they're hard to deal with.
Yeah, I just agree with what y'all have said, because this has been a struggle for me too. One of the interesting things is if I say, whatever you do, do not think of a pink rabbit. Well, the first thing that comes into your mind is a pink rabbit. And this is what I think we often do when there's an invasive thought, is we kind of start kicking ourselves for that thing. We're like, oh my gosh, why did that guy come to my head? Get him out, get him out. And then, of course, we can't get that out of our minds because we're saying in our heads, don't think about man X, I think is how you said it, Kay. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you immediately think about man X and he keeps popping in. Whereas if you go, huh, that was weird. This is one of the interesting things that I've learned through some meditation techniques, to observe your own thoughts pretty calmly and then just be like, I'm observing that. And now I'm just going to wave that away. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to turn toward where I want my focus to be. And so you acknowledge it, you observe it, and push it away. And that has been so much more helpful for me than trying to be like, okay, don't think about this and think about this. This was always my thing when they would do like, think of a calm lake. And I would think of a calm lake and like 2 seconds later, a jet ski would just fly by on my lake. And so I had to learn how to be like, oh, huh, there's a jet ski. I'm just going to wait for those waves to go down. Mm-hmm. But the principle is the same.
Yeah, but that meditative technique of letting it pass through with no shame and then just bringing your focus back to the thing that you want to be focused on. And, you know, you might have to do that a couple dozen times at first. And then maybe mm-hmm. the next time it's just a dozen, you know, it sort of becomes a skill that gets more automatic.
And the reason that I learned these meditative techniques is because I wanted to be able to focus more also on scripture. I wanted to really be able to do that. You know, I meditate on your word day and night, and I couldn't focus well. So doing this actually has lots of benefits, but one of the things you can also add is a go-to scripture in your head when you start feeling that. And so maybe it's, you know, I belong to my beloved and his desire is for me. And you refocus or whatever it is, his love is more delightful than wine or whatever you want to say. Although I think it's actually your love that's more delightful than wine in the original. Is it hers? Hers is the delightful wine love? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Song of Songs 1:2. Somebody will look it up. But yeah, so those go-to scriptures have helped me to reframe things and focus where I need to have it. And let me add one little question onto this. Do you think a wife needs to tell her husband if she's having these thoughts?
Okay, I'm just going to be completely honest with you and say that I would not.
I wouldn't either. So I think we're okay.
I'm just going to, just to be totally honest, I would not.
I would try to deal with it with myself. And if it really came to the point that I just was struggling too much, then I might say something. But I feel like I don't know. I just don't think that it would be useful for me to know if my husband was dealing with that. If it was just like these women popped in his head and then he practiced some techniques that dealt with it. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. If she's really, truly trying not to dwell on it and she's really, you know, striving towards personal growth exercises to help diminish this, and she does find success with the practice, because it does take practice, then probably nothing needs to be said. But if it is an ongoing issue and it's really troubling her, I probably would share. Because what I found is that sharing intrusive thoughts can actually get rid of them. I have found that in my own
personal life. What about sharing them with someone other than your husband?
Yes. A safe person called a fair witness. Yes. But if your husband's in a space where he could hear it, I think your husband would be best. But you alone know whether he could handle that or not.
Right. Well, I think we have covered that question pretty well. And now let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor. Okay, wait, listener, don't fast forward. We really want you to hear about Share the Soap, a family-owned company with natural products that cleanse and pamper. So what can you tell us about Share the Soap?
I love their bath bombs.
Yeah.
I have purchased numerous bath bombs for gifts for myself, but they are high-end without a high-end price.
I'm a fan of the lip balms. I mean, that's the best lip balm I have ever used. And, you know, I've used a lot. So it was really good. And they could come in these cute little packages, and you can even get a 2-pack.
I love their face serum. Don't you think my face looks young and beautiful?
I was thinking it looked glowing today. It really did.
Mm-hmm. That's because I just got home from work and I'm all sweaty. But no, I do. I love their face serum. It's just natural oils and some essential oils. So it's like a very clean thing. It really moisturizes your slightly aging skin. And they have great customer service. I mean, Tori is very nice. The owner, you know, she sent me a nice note with my last package. You can message them right on their website and they get right back to you. So they have great customer service. I really, really like their products.
Right. Yeah. And their website says simple, wholesome skincare that allows the beautiful you to shine through naturally and effortlessly.
Mm. Boy, I like that. So y'all definitely have to check this out.
And we have a code, right?
Yeah, we will have a link to Share the Soap and a discount code in our show notes. So please head there and click through and check them out. Thanks to Share the Soap for sponsoring this episode. And now, what you've all been waiting for.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I usually like to pick a question that I at least have some reasonable answer for, but I don't actually have an answer for any questions today or this entire week. But I thought that between the three of us, we might come up with an answer. So, okay. This wife says, I am definitely the lower drive spouse, and I think it's mostly because I have so much trouble getting turned on. It takes so long, and we don't have a lot of extra time with our toddler around. I am struggling the most with talking with my husband during sex. Something might feel good, and I tell him, and then I get completely distracted and out of it when I talk. This happens more if I try to explain something I want him to do. I feel like I'm grasping at that turned on feeling, and any little thing pulls me out of it. My husband is very kind, patient, and wanting to do what I need, but I feel like I can't quite do it, and I feel like I'm letting him down. I want sex to be good, but I can't get the communication thing down. Any tips?
I have a thought on this, and it is that I don't do good at communicating during sex. Despite the fact that I'm a very wordy girl, I have difficulty forming words in the middle of lovemaking. I think it could be a good idea to talk about it beforehand. Like, instead of thinking about it doing during sex, you can say, you know what, honey, I would like to try some things. And this part of me, I'd really like you to touch there and blah, 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 and this and that. And then maybe talk about some very simple directions that you could give in the moment that are things just like left, right, up, down, softer, harder, whatever, faster, slower. Just simple things like that after you've kind of framed what you're wanting to try.
And you could just move his hand.
There you go. Well, never mind everything I said. Just no.
Move his hand, move his leg. Sometimes you can do push-pull movements. There's ways to communicate non-verbally. Because I understand what she's saying. It's hard enough to get to the point where she's really feeling good And then to have to communicate just takes her out of that zone. I get that.
Well, yeah, and she's already got a toddler, so she's having difficulty being in the zone.
Yeah. And I just want to commend her having a toddler and, you know, wanting to show up in the bedroom engaged. Fantastic.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that the thing about really needing to be focused if you're trying to, you know, continue to sort of feel turned on, or if you're really trying to have an orgasm, I can definitely relate to that. I wonder if it would be helpful for her to go back and do some of the things we've talked about, but make it easier for you to get turned on. You know, she said it's so much trouble for her to get in the mood, and then any little thing distracts it. And so I wonder if she could go back even before the point of talking to him in the bedroom and work on some of the things that we've talked about. And we could link to some of those episodes where we talked about things that, you know, busy women, busy moms, women who are tired a lot can do to make intimacy and feeling good themselves in the bedroom a priority, so that it's not so hard when she gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we also have some webinars that are entirely on point with this.
Yeah,
on getting in the mood and foreplay.
Mm-hmm. We'll put those in the show notes.
Yeah, I also kind of want to address this idea of she feels like she can't quite do it, and she says, I feel like I'm letting him down. You know, I just think that's a burden that I understand it. I understand the feeling, but I also kind of think that you have to let that go and embrace that your sexuality is what it is, and your situation is what it is. And it's like, you know what? You're not failing him by having this difficulty. It's something that the two of you just have to work through. This is something that we kind of need to expect, that sex is not going to be perfect every time around. Every couple I've talked to has had something they have to work through. That's normal.
Yeah. Amen.
And actually, studies show that if you think everything's going to go great and it doesn't, then you are very frustrated and you have relational conflict. Whereas if you expect there just to be some usual things you have to deal with, you seem to be more equipped, more resilient to handle them.
And can I just make a comment from where I am now in our marriage?
Sure.
And you know, I mean like small stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, I know you mean like small stuff going on. Yeah, small stuff. But what I would say is he is darn lucky you're in there trying.
Oh, yeah.
And sex is for you too, girl.
So that's what I was going to say. But
sorry,
you know,
gay.
I didn't want to be accused of always saying. But just, you know, her comment that Jay just read again, she said, I feel like I'm letting him down. I mean, that kind of makes me think that she feels like sex is primarily for him, and that she's, you know, doing these things so it will be good, but maybe really not so much for her. And if that may or may not be the case, but if that is the case, then she may want to focus on the fact that, yes, she wants things to improve for them, but also for her, because she deserves to have an enjoyable time in the bedroom, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the risk of having a shameless plug here, I'm just going to also say, if you really want to talk out some ideas and talk through your sex life with your husband, I do have a book called Pillow Talk that might, you know, help you frame those conversations positively, and includes things about how you touch each other and things to try and establishing a repertoire. So I'll put that in the show notes.
Put that in the show notes.
Good. Yes.
And we're pulling for you, girl.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, I think that's it. And next time we hope to be back with Chris, and we'll be here in a couple of weeks talking more about sex and marriage and life and whatever else comes to mind. And we hope you'll join us then at our virtual kitchen table.